Hey, it's Daniel Tardy. Thanks for listening to the Entree Leadership Podcast. Did you know that the lessons taught by Dave in this podcast are a part of our Entree Leadership Master Series event? Join us at our next event to hear the entire Entree Leadership curriculum in person. This is a special edition at our office in Nashville, Tennessee, May 5th through the 11th. To get more details or to register, give us a call at 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223. Or check out the Master Series event at entreeleadership.com.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is a place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we have a lesson from Dave about the no gossip policy. Yep, that's right. We actually have a no gossip policy. Why? Because gossip stinks. Gossip is a cancer. So we have a policy about it. Dave is going to tell you all about that. We also have an interview with best-selling author and speaker John Gordon. Now, who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I am your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. Last week, we talked to, and by the way, phenomenal response to the John Maxwell episode. Phenomenal response to the John Maxwell interview, which I still think is one of my favorite ones that we've ever done. I mean, it was just an incredible conversation. We also had a lesson from Dave explaining the Zig Ziglar Wheel of Life. Today's lesson is the no gossip policy. Now, I can tell you this. This is something that can revolutionize your business. Once you put this into action, this can absolutely change your business. Unless you're sitting there going, well, we don't have gossip. Yeah, I'm sure you don't. Anyways, here is Dave Ramsey on the no gossip policy.
Gossip. This is a fun one. You start dealing with this, it's going to be great. Because I tell you what, almost every organization is screwed up by this. This is one of the most evil spirits that Satan ever let loose on this planet. I mean nasty people. And Christians, I'll go, we want to know how to pray for you. No, you don't. You need to leave me alone is what you need to do. I know some of you are actually praying. I get that. I appreciate that. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. We put this on a prayer list. Yeah, right. What you need to do is shut up and get back to work. Stay out of other people's business. That's what you need to do. Yep. And the worst kind of gossip of all is the gossip about the person that is freaking paying you. So your kids can eat and you have electricity. And you're like, Dave. Once I will warn you. And then I will fire you. I have a zero tolerance plus one policy for gossip. I will teach you once, and then I will fire your butt. Isn't that refreshing? And let me tell you, you're going to love this when you start doing it, because everybody agrees, even the gossips, because they don't think they're gossips. And so we have to teach them. We have to work through the process with them. Gossip is degrading and will destroy an organization. By definition, gossip is when a negative is discussed with anyone who can't fix the problem. And so what we do is we develop and maintain a culture in which negatives are handed up and positives are handed down. I'm not saying you can't be angry. I'm not saying you can't be frustrated. You better be. At some point, you better care enough about what's going on to bump up into it. Otherwise, why do I need you? If you're just a little drone, why did I hire you? I want people on my team that are moving things around. So you're going to have some passion issues, I hope. The people that are on fire are going to bump into each other. The deal is not whether you get frustrated. The deal is not whether you get angry. The deal is not whether you have a situation that needs to be handled. The deal is how you handle it. You have one option. Hand negatives up. Positives down and laterally. So two VPs don't need to sit and discuss what's wrong with Dave, unless Dave's sitting there with them. Now, you can come in and confront me. I'm fine with that. That's handing the negative up. That's cool. We'll talk about it. And I might be wrong. Probably not. But we'll have the opportunity to talk it through. right? I mean, I'm with you. I'll listen. It's good. But the negative's up. But don't sit and three of you go out to dinner and go, well, you know, if you did this and this and this, oh my God, I'll put a bullet in your head. Oh my gosh. No. So, I mean, you know, how many times does some sales guy plop down in front of the receptionist and spend 30 minutes telling her how stupid the IT team is because they can't fix his computer? In every organization, once I will warn you, she does not buy computers, she does not fix computers. You just told her that our company is incompetent in your mind. And now she was sitting there having a good day, now she thinks she works for an incompetent company. Or a company that doesn't care, or a company that doesn't have integrity. And we are none of those things, and we will prove it by our firing of you if you do that again. And that's how the reprimand will sound. In your face, I will not tolerate this. And I backed into this accidentally. I had no idea. I thought if I hire little believers, they're all going to be nice. They're the worst. Because they do it with a cross over it and a fish on it. Unbelievable, man. I hired this woman. She was selling stuff. There were seven of us. We were at seven people. She was selling everything in sight, man. She was the greatest salesperson in the world because she lied like a dog. She just made up crap. That's how she made the sales. Overpromise, underdeliver. Constantly having to clean up her messes. But, man, she was bringing in the gross refs. And 6 months before I fired her, my wife said, you're going to have to fire that one. I smell it. I've got a feeling. If she gets a feeling, it's bad. And I'm like, no, this one's good. She's bringing it in. And we're sitting. But what happens is it never stays where it is, right? I mean, it either is going to get better or it's going to get worse. And so what happened was by me not addressing it and going, la, 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 she's bringing in sales, I'm going to ignore this, it got worse and worse and worse and worse. To where she was actually trying to turn the whole company, there's like six other people, all looking at me going, you know, she says you're an idiot. And I don't understand why they're all looking at me like this. And finally I walked up behind her one day and she was going off, holding court at the coffee pot, you know. And I was like, and she turned around and looked at me and she's like, and then she got all belligerent and she wasn't even embarrassed, turned on me. And then in a staff meeting 3 weeks later, she did it again. And I went, staff meeting of eight people. You know, we're in a circle. And she decides that she's going to take me on and be belligerent in that setting. And so, you know, I let her go. And I thought, you know, I had put it off so long. I was not scared of her, but I was trying to be nice. I was trying to extend grace. I was trying to be the good guy. You know what I'm saying? And I just went on and on and on and on and on and on with it. And never again. Because I tell you what happened. The coolest thing happened. I came in that morning. I fired her butt. We went through the whole thing. And she was all... And I just like, get out. Get your box. Get out of here. You know, get your box of stuff. Hit the door. And I thought the whole... You know, I thought when I walked out, I was kind of like Dorothy when she accidentally killed the witch. And she walked out and she thought all the soldiers were going to turn on her. And the whole staff went, ding dong, the witch is dead. You know, witch oh witch. You know, right? They turned into munchkins. It was awesome. In other words, you literally could feel the air change in the building. It was that foul. And which meant that if it was that tangible, I had waited too long. 6 months, to be exact. Too long. But I learned with that one, and I drew a line in the sand. I said, that's it. New Dave Ramsey organization. Value. We do not tolerate this off of anyone. We will warn you once and we will send you somewhere else to spread your garbage. In Jesus' name.
Folks, what else can I say? What else can I say about that except when you have gossip, it is a cancer. It will rip your business apart. It will rip your friendships apart. It will rip your church apart. It'll rip so on and so on and so on. Gossip is a cancer. Now, here's the one thing I do tell people. When it comes to business, here's what I have found. More than not, now this does not explain every single time, More than not, people gossip when they have a leader who will not listen. People gossip when they feel like there is not an open door, there's not somebody who wants to fix problems. If there's something going wrong and they have got a heart for your business, for your company, if they've got a passion to move your business forward, and they see something wrong and they try to talk to somebody to get it fixed and nobody will fix it or nobody believes them or whatever, that's when I find people gossip. Now, I'm not saying it's all right. It is not all right. But it's also not good to be a leader who does not listen to your team. At least hear them through. At least, give it some thought and give them a decent, reasonable answer if you decide not to go in that direction. Or just say, listen, I don't feel that's an issue. I don't feel that's a big deal. And so I'm not doing it. But either way, at least allow your people to be heard. When they do not feel like they can be listened to and they have the heart and the passion to change a business, they feel like they've got to tell somebody. Once again, doesn't make it right, but more than not, I find it makes it true. All right, moving along. Today, we're talking to John Gordon. His engaging talks and principles have influenced numerous leaders and teams in professional sports, business, healthcare, and education. Now, John speaks on a variety of topics such as leadership, teamwork, culture, sales, and service based on his best-selling books. His clients include the Atlanta Falcons, Campbell Soup, Northwestern Mutual, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Wells Fargo, PGA Tour, Denver Public Schools, and many, many more. So if you will do me a huge favor, please welcome to the show, John Gordon. Hey, John, it's good to have you on.
It's great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here because today we're talking about something. Our main lesson is on gossip and not having that. You have done an incredible job of writing books on helping with culture, helping with leadership, helping with teamwork. So just jumping right in, you talk about standing out and growing your business, which is something we're big about. We don't want people to just be stale. We want you to grow your business. Let me ask you this. Is it necessary to stand out in order to grow?
I believe it is. I believe that when you stand out and you build a great culture that stands out, it speaks volumes to the marketplace. People say there is something different about that company. And when you have, say, a no-gossip rule, and you have a rule that says, hey, we're going to be a positive company. We're going to be a culture that values each other, our beliefs, and our customers. That speaks volumes. People see that. They feel that. They sense that. And so it's essential to create that great culture. And then when you stand out, then that helps you grow and increase your sales.
And one of the things that I've noticed is when you do that, you have a tendency to change the pool of people that you interview for, that you hire from.
That is a great point. Great cultures attract great people. And I often tell companies and I tell leaders that you have to know what you stand for as a company. What does your culture stand for? Because once you know what you stand for, then it's easy to hire people that stand for the same things that you stand for. Mm. And so great cultures start to attract people that really believe in what you believe, that they believe what you stand for, they want to be a part of that. And so there's a contagious energy of a great culture that really does attract great people to you. And that's why I say, you know, if you want a successful organization, a successful business, you have to nurture that root. And if you really nurture the root, you'll have a great supply of fruit. Focus on the root, which is your culture, and you'll attract the people that help you nurture and then create the great fruit.
Now, I'm huge on teaching culture. For me, if you ask Chris Licurdo, what is culture? For me, it's actions and attitudes. I mean, that is the sum of what's going to happen in your business. And I'm a big believer that if you aren't intentional about it, then somebody else will be, and it may not be the culture that you want. You talk about culture a lot about as far as growing the business. Why is culture so important?
Well, because culture drives behavior. Behavior drives habits that you're talking about. And it's those habits that ultimately drive the future and create your future. So culture is everything. When I speak to sports teams, for instance, I spoke to the Atlanta Falcons this year and actually for the past 5 years. Yeah, I said you win in the locker room first, and then you win on the field. And so it starts with that culture you create because that's the expectations, it's the beliefs, it's the mindset, it's the standards of behavior that says this is how we do things, this is who we are, this is how we behave. And so everyone who joins your company, your organization, they know that this is how it's done. And so the culture drives everything. So instead of putting out fires with a bad culture, with dysfunction, you actually then can create a great organization and grow once you focus and intentionally design your culture. And you're right on the money. You know, companies and organizations that intentionally design their culture, the research shows, outperform those who just let it happen naturally.
Okay, so just pointing that out again, what you just said, because sometimes we get so stuck in our own little worlds. Statistically, companies that are more focused on their culture win greater than others.
Yes.
I mean, it's just
they actually perform at a higher level. They intentionally focus on the culture they want to create, and then from there, they then produce the results that they want. But it starts with spending the time investing in the culture. See, so often we're so busy focused on all the other things that we say, I don't have time to create the culture. I gotta make sales. We gotta create our product. We gotta get out there and do this. We don't have time for that. And so it seems touchy-feely, and it's hard to quantify. But what I really encourage people is, hey, you have to focus on it because that's your root. That's the root of your tree. And if you don't and you just focus on the fruit, the tree will die. You have to make sure you nurture that root. You'll get the fruit.
Yeah, you've seen it. I mean, as an early leader, and again, the guy who's teaching this stuff or speaking about this stuff, I need to learn this stuff all the time myself. But as an early leader, I was one of those. I did the same thing. I was always focused on, no, what you do during your workday is produce, sell, make something, you know, create something, do whatever. And unfortunately, you get down the road of being so bogged down with all of the workload that your culture all of a sudden becomes, you know, toxic or becomes
exactly
bad.
There's a great organization called Defender Direct, and they have Culture Day. When you join their company, you actually go through Culture Day where you are indoctrinated to the culture. You learn all about the culture, and it is your focus from when you join the company. Now, throughout the year, they also have celebration of Culture Day where they actually celebrate their culture as an organization. So throughout the year, they're saying, hey, our culture matters. It is important, and we have to focus on it. And I used to be in the restaurant business. So as someone who was building my restaurant business, I wish I could actually go back and do it again.
No doubt.
Because I know I would do it so much better knowing how important culture is. When I was in it, I was so busy, I was so stressed. I wish someone told me how important culture was because I didn't focus on it enough.
Oh, dude, I've been there. I was in the restaurant industry myself, and I know exactly what you're talking about. There's people out there that are listening to this right now that either don't know, you know, they may know something's wrong. They don't know how to recognize it. Or, you know, this is the first time they're hearing something like this. Explain some bad cultures. You don't need to use any names, or maybe even go back to the restaurant industry, you know, where you came from. But can you kind of explain some of these bad cultures or signs of bad cultures or things to look out for or things you would have changed?
I think it's important to focus on what's working well, and then we can go to what's bad. So first, I think we all know Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
Everyone knows the culture of Chick-fil-A. And I was driving to a taxi cab to their headquarters. And as we're driving there, the taxi cab driver said, going to Chick-fil-A, huh? I said, yes. He said, there's something different about that company, isn't there? I said, yes, there is. And so when you create a great culture, it tells people there's something different about you in a very positive way. On the flip side, you go to a restaurant and you walk in and the place is dirty and the employees are not very nice to you. And what should take 5 minutes to get your food, or even 3 minutes, it takes 15 minutes. There is something clearly wrong with the culture that allows that to happen, that says that's okay. When you go into public supermarkets and you ask someone where something is, every one of their employees is trained through their culture that they are supposed to get up and take you to the aisle on the shelf and show you where it is. They're not allowed to say, I don't know, dude.
Right.
They're not allowed to say, good luck, man. They actually have to take you to the spot on the shelf. Now, you go to other grocery stores, and everyone stands around. They look like you're annoying them if you ask for help. They don't get up to help you. So, again, the culture drives how we treat our customers, how we act, and I would also say, most importantly, how we treat our employees. The culture dictates how you treat the people that work for you, which is essential
right
to build a winning team.
And I think we each notice those things out there. We notice the good. We obviously notice the bad stuff. We see that in a heartbeat. And we notice the good things. But I think we have a hard time translating seeing somebody else doing it right into, hey, I need to do that in my own business. Would you agree?
We do. And, you know, a hospital's a great example. Palmetto Health Systems. And when you go to Palmetto Health Systems, they have a mission vision statement, and it's to treat each patient as we would members of our own family. Mm. And so that drives everyone in the company. Now, I interviewed all these different people in the company before I spoke to them. I wanted to know if they really got this. Every one of the people knew the vision and mission statement when I asked. Now, I go to other places and I say, hey, what's the vision statement? I've been to some places, even the CEO doesn't know the vision mission statement.
Ugh.
So that starts the process right there. Then does the rest of the leadership, do they buy in? Does the rest of the company buy in? Do they know what they stand for? Do they have a set of values that they actually live and breathe? Now, we also know a lot of organizations have values, they have it written out, but do they really live it? Do they really breathe it? See, in great cultures, it's not just on a piece of paper. It comes to life in the hearts and the minds of everyone who works there. So it's that culture is a live and breathing organism, and you get a sense of that. In other organizations that have bad cultures, it doesn't come to life. It's on a piece of paper. No one lives it, and they allow that toxicity that you're talking about to take hold rather than focus on the positive.
Right. Now, one of your books is called The No Complaining Rule, which I love that. In it, you explain how negativity costs organizations billions of dollars and impacts the morale, productivity, and health of individuals and teams, because, I mean, it does. What is the No Complaining Rule, and how does it work?
This is a great story. This is based on a real company that invented the No Complaining Rule. The CEO, Dwight Cooper, a friend of mine, told me how he had this No Complaining Rule to really create a great culture. He said it's simple. Everyone who joins the company and everyone in the company understands the rule, and it says this: you're not allowed to complain, mindlessly complain, unless you come with one or two possible solutions.
Love it.
So now everyone in the company is empowered to actually create solutions to the complaints. This leads to new ideas, new innovations, new processes, better ways of doing things. But no one is allowed to mindlessly complain. That sabotages the morale and the performance. Think about it. Someone's at their desk. They start complaining to the person next to them. It starts to spread. And I often joke, complaining is like throwing up. Afterwards, you feel better, but everyone around you feels sick. And that's what complaining does to organizations. Now, this is a company that's a nurse staffing company, and they've been voted one of the best places to work many times by the Best Places to Work Institute, by SHRM, and they're outperforming their competition 10 times the growth in a commoditized market. And Dwight will tell you it's because they focus on their culture, and the No Complaining Rule is really the cornerstone of that. So I wrote a fable based on the rule and then brought the rule to life through this fable and the No Complaining Rule.
I love it because that is so true. You don't really think about it. You don't think about how much that affects other people.
You know, right. You're just complaining yourself, and then next thing you know, you're infecting everyone else. I have to admit, I used to be a professional complainer in my younger days, and I decided to take Lou Holtz's advice. Lou Holtz said the best quote ever about complaining. He said, "Don't complain. 80% of the people you complain to don't care. And 20% are glad you have problems." So that was a great quote for me to see. And I realized, you know, I am a complainer. I need to get a hold of this. And about 11 years ago, after my wife's ultimatum, I started to become a more positive person. And I was stuck. You know, I was stuck in my rut. I was stuck in complaining. And there's really two reasons why we complain, though. I talk about in the book. We complain because we feel powerless. So it's like an adult form of crying, and that's why we complain. And also because it's become a habit. And so the best thing we can do is help people and empower them to actually create solutions to their complaints. So we're empowering our people when we do that, and we're empowering ourselves to do it as well. And clearly God doesn't want us to complain, because it's very clear in the Bible that God says, do not complain.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That is so funny. When you put it like that, or Lou Holtz puts it that way, 80% don't care, 20% are glad you have problems. It really just kind of brings light to the fact that, yeah, this is not going to help me at all.
No.
This is pointless.
And in the book, we have five things to do instead of complaints. So we're saying, hey, if you're going to complain, then don't. But here's things you can do instead. You can praise your workers. You can pray instead of complain. You can actually celebrate the successes, what's good at work during your day instead of the bad things. What we focus on really does grow. So I often talk about feeding the negative or the positive dog inside of you, and whichever one you feed, that's what's going to grow. So we have to feed that positive on a daily basis. Now, if you do have a complaint where something's wrong, okay, don't ignore it. I'm not saying, hey, get rid of all complaints.
Right.
Let's take that complaint and use it as a catalyst for better ways of doing things. If you think about it, all of our greatest inventions came about because of a complaint where we said, hey, there's got to be a better way. So let's use those complaints for the better ways.
I love it. Now, you have worked with NFL coaches and teams,
yes.
Which, my gosh, especially nowadays, I always say I hate free agency because I feel like it's destroyed the team aspect of what we do. I mean, it's good for the individual, but we've seen teams go from working together to being, oh my gosh, this is difficult to try and put all these puzzle pieces together. What have you learned about optimism, and what can entrepreneurs, you know, people running their own businesses, learn from them and from what you've learned?
Well, that's what I love about working with sports teams. I love seeing that a coach can come in and actually take all these essentially free agents, people who have their own contracts, and see how through principles, through his or her leadership, how they can actually bring this team together and truly make them a team, much like the Summer Olympic basketball team. They actually gave my book, The Energy Bus, to all the basketball players before the Olympics, so that was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I love seeing that these coaches, you know, how they do that. And optimism and being a positive leader is a big part of it, because you have to share that vision of where you're going as a team in order to get the guys on the bus. You have to share the vision, invite those players on, and you have to be the kind of positive leader that these guys want to follow. And so what we can learn from NFL coaches is the essential positivity, the essential optimism that really builds great organizations and teams. Mark Richt at the University of Georgia is a great example. He had everyone read my book, The Energy Bus, last year. I spoke to the team, and after I spoke, they lost the first two games. Yeah, I really thought I ruined them. I sent Coach Richt a text after the second loss. I said, Coach, I still believe in you guys. He sent me a text back. He said, John, the guys are staying positive. We're still on the bus. We're not allowing energy vampires to sabotage our team. We have in the past, but not this year. This team actually made a decision that they would not allow energy vampires to ruin their ride. No negativity in that locker room that would destroy the team. He even put a picture of an energy vampire in the meeting room. It was a huge picture. Anytime one of the players was being a vampire, they took that player's picture and they put it on the vampire.
Nice.
I mean, it was brilliant.
It is.
No one wanted to be on the wall, but what they were essentially saying is, you know what? We're going to stay positive as a team. Yeah, we may have some losses, but we're going to overcome this. We're going to stay positive, and we're going to keep pursuing our goals. And it's the same thing in business. As a leader, you're going to have setbacks. You have to stay optimistic. In our presidential campaign, I just read an article where they talked about the importance of that leader staying optimistic for all of their supporters, for all the people that are working for their campaign. I mean, optimism is what we need as leaders to get through all the challenges. So every entrepreneur is going to face those setbacks. Anyone who's ever started a business knows how challenging it is. But it's that optimism that you have as a leader, and it's that belief that you share with your team. See, I think a lot of people are positive themselves, or they find ways to overcome those challenges, but it's essential to be contagious with your beliefs to really transfer that belief to others. Absolutely. And that's what great entrepreneurs, great business people do.
I love it. I love it. Powerful stuff, John. Thank you so much for doing this with us. We have got a couple things we're going to do here. One, are you good with sticking around and doing an extended interview for the readers over at chrislicurto.com?
Sure.
And then we are also, folks, we are going to be giving away sets of John's books. We're going to be giving away three different, he's got three incredible books: Training Camp, The No Complaining Rule, and The Energy Bus. And so today on chrislicurto.com, we're going to be giving away three of each of those. So make sure that you go on over there and take a look and see if you can win one of those as well. John, what's the last thing people can get from you? Let's do two things. One, what's the one thing that you want to tell everybody listening? And two, how can they get more of you, find out where you're going to be, all that kind of stuff?
Well, the last thing I want to say is we need a purpose. Ultimately, that gives us something to be positive about. As an entrepreneur, one thing I know is you will face challenges. You will have days that you just don't even want to get out of bed. Mm-hmm. You're going to have days that you just don't feel very positive. That's when we need a purpose and a passion that ultimately drives us through the challenges. So I'm really big on understanding what your purpose is on a daily basis. For me, you know, it was to make a difference. The Energy Bus was rejected by 30-something publishers. Mm-hmm. I was told, just give it up. The dream's not going to happen. But I couldn't give it up because my purpose was greater. And I look back, day in and day out, what drove me to get out there each day to share this message on a daily basis was I had this purpose and passion that I felt I could make a difference. And so I often say if your desire to make a difference is greater than your desire to make money, you'll accomplish both. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a desire to make money. Sure. You should, because you're in business. But your desire to make a difference has to be greater than that desire to make money. Oh, wow. And if it is, you'll accomplish both. And people could find out more about me at johngordon.com, johngordon.com. Huge fan of Dave Ramsey. And you can visit my website. I have a ton of free resources that you can use. And we share because we want to make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, John. Really appreciate having you on the show today.
Thank you so much. You were great.
Thanks, man. That was powerful. That was good stuff. I love the analogies. I love the information. Because I think, you know, I just got finished wrapping up Entree Leadership Performance Series and spending time with, and Entree Leadership Master Series, spending time with businesses that are struggling with some of these things, these tweaks, this positivity, the negativity, the culture, all that kind of stuff. Folks, I hope that really, really hit home for you. That was good stuff. Make sure that you're following John, his blog, johngordon.com, his Twitter, at johngordon11. Becky, what did you get out of that?
Yeah, something he said that I thought was really powerful is that culture drives behavior and behavior drives habits. So if you're a company that really wants to improve your culture and improve, you know, what you're doing, then you have to be intentional about your culture and you have to celebrate it, like you said, and teach it and really just dunk your team in the culture. So it's going to permeate through the whole company.
How cool is that about the company that has the culture day and then they celebrate culture?
Yeah.
Day? I mean, that's we don't think about those things because we focus so much on culture here. Mm-hmm. That we don't think of what it's like for another business out there to, you know, how are they going to do it? What are they going to do?
That's a great way. If you're looking for a way for you to take what you're hearing here on the podcast and how, you know, if you're struggling with how you are going to create a culture, then start doing stuff like that. Create a culture day. Celebrate it. That's just really easy action points you can, take away and do it.
I mean, it's not that difficult. I think one of my favorite things, and folks, you got to be careful with this because he was talking about a coach from one of your
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Talking about UGA's coach, Mark Rick.
Talking about the picture of the energy vampire. The energy vampire, I love it because you don't think about it that way. You don't think it like the one thing you said, you know, being negative, complaining about stuff is like throwing up another and everybody else gets sick, you know. But when he talked about that picture, that energy vampire out there, and when somebody was being negative, they put that picture on that. Vampire.
Yeah, that would work on me. I would hate that.
I'm never going to be negative.
you would not catch me being negative if I knew that was going to happen.
Heck no. So while that is a great concept, folks, understand that they've probably also got a group of people who are confident enough that they could handle it, you know, having their picture put up on a wall. So
this is a football team.
This is a football team. Powerful, powerful stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed that as well. Coming up this Thursday at 9 a.m. Central, we'll be hosting the Entree Leadership Live Chat. Come stop by for an hour to kick off your workday and learn from fellow Entree leaders. By the way, did we mention that? It's free. Completely free. Go to DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership this Thursday and join in on the discussion. Reminders, follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership or at Chris Locurto, LOCURTO, or email us at podcast@EntreeLeadership.com. And every day I put out Leadership to Change Your Life on ChrisLocurto.com. So don't forget that. Don't forget to head on over to DaveRamsey.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter. It's free as well. And if you would like some more information on this, don't forget to come on over to one of our Entree Leadership events. If you want to hear all the Entree Leadership lessons from Dave, attend our next Entree Leadership Master Series, which is May 5th through the 11th here in Nashville. It's going to be at our headquarters here in Nashville. So we're going to do a lot to change that up, make that huge, big, fun, exciting.
Yeah, we're kind of calling it like the homecoming edition.
Ooh, the homecoming edition. I like that.
I have here in our notes, you know, the reason we're doing this is to give people a front row experience to the Entree Leadership culture. So we're talking about culture today. So the cool thing about having it here at our office is that, you know, you get to see it in action.
That is powerful. That's true. I didn't think about it like that. Yeah, you're coming in to see our culture here as we do it. Fantastic stuff. If you would like to get that, make sure that you're going over to, again, daveramsey.com/EntreeLeadership or call the Entree Leadership team at 888-227-3223. Well, that puts another Entree Leadership podcast in the books. Got to thank the people who make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our energy vampire.
Well, you know, he always says he's Team Edward when we talk. He's always talking about Twilight.
That is so sad. He's so sad.
He's not here to defend himself.
Team Edward. Well, yes, he is our here's our good energy vampire.
Yeah, he's like Count Chocula.
Chocula.
He's not the energy vampire.
Oh, we're going to come up with so much fun stuff. He's not going to know where it's coming from.
I know. Love it.
Colin Fatke, our audio genius, who, by the way, is recently married, newly married. He's a newlywed. So congratulations to him on that. Fantastic.
You don't have to worry about a name change like I did.
Yeah, no name change.
You don't have
there.
To worry about messing up his left.
Becky Powell, our producer and just fantastic all-around amazing person who makes everything happen. John Gordon, and of course, Dave Ramsey. Folks, take this information out there. Change your life. Change your leadership. Change your business. Do something with this. Give it to your team members. Make sure they're focused on this as well. And join us on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.